Ah, welcome back. Now, I am delighted to be joined on the line by David Moore from Astronomy Ireland to tell us all about what's happening in the sky in Ireland. And he's going to tell us about a big watch telescope that's at Blanchardstown and Astronomy Week and all sorts of things. And even the end of the world, I think. Hi, David. How are you? Hello? Hello, David. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now, yes.
Ah, good.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Good. So now, I have recently moved to Roscommon, as all the listeners know at this stage, and I am delighted to be able to look up. When I get out of the car in the evening, I'm like one of those tourists in New York. I'm looking up at the gorgeous sky and I'm able to see lots and lots of stars because I don't have that light pollution that we have here in Dublin. But you have a lovely viewing point in Blanchardstown. I actually went out to it one evening after talking to you before. I went out with my brother-in-law out to view. And you can see quite a bit there now with your telescopes, of course. So tell us about the big watch that's happening out there.
Well, that's right. You're very lucky in Roscommon with those incredible dark skies. In fact, Ireland has some of the darkest skies in Europe.
Right.
We have a couple of dark sky parks that hold the record for this continent, and that's probably because we have one of the lowest population densities of any of the EU countries.
Right.
And also most of the people are concentrated in the big main cities, especially Dublin, but also Cork, Limerick, Galway. So the countryside is fairly accessible. If you look at nighttime maps of the world from space, you'll see the countries are lit up like Christmas trees. And where they're dark, it's usually because of the mountain range, but not so in Ireland. We have a few of those, of course, but actually some of the rural places that have roads going through them, where people are living, are far enough away from major man-made light that they still have very good dark skies.
Mm.
So, you know, it's something not to be worried about. The other thing to worry more about is the Irish weather. 3 out of 4 nights are cloudy, and that's a real killer. But then, the city dwellers, as we are really on a Dublin station, although most of the members of Astronomy Ireland don't live in Dublin, they live outside, glad to say, you can see a lot, and in fact, the watch we're running on Friday night, a few nights from now, for Irish Astronomy Week, is to look at Venus next to the moon, and you could see that from the middle of O'Connell Street. It's that bright. I mean, it's the moon. You can see the moon in daylight sometimes, and Venus is the brightest star-like object in the sky, and they're just going to happen to get close together. It's Irish Astronomy Week. We thought we'd have to set up telescopes to show people what they can see with the naked eye. Only up close you can see the disk of Venus itself.
Nice.
Also then, the craters on the moon. So the moon will be to the lower right of Venus. So anyone can see this themselves, even if you can't get along to Blanchardstown. It's an event mainly for people in the Leinster area. You'll see the moon in the evening sky after the sun goes down in twilight, and just to the lower right, this brilliant blazing star. And if you look carefully with the eye, and especially if you've got a pair of binoculars, you'll see the dark side of the moon is glowing faintly, and that's the sunlight being reflected off the Earth onto the moon. So if you were standing on the lunar landscape there on the night side of the moon, you'd see a brilliant bright Earth that 10 times brighter than our full moon is in the sky, lighting up the landscape. So it's going to be quite a spectacular sight for people who want to come along on Friday night.
Very good. Well, now, does it matter if it's very wet and misty and that sort of thing, as you say, cloudy? Will you still see with the telescopes?
Well, we'll be there anyway, because the Irish weather has a way of tricking you. Even if there's sort of clear spells forecast, sometimes you don't get any of those clear spells. But other times you get gloriously clear skies, and we've had that on occasion when the weather forecast has been dreadful. And then we've had the break in the droughts and been able to show the entire crowd what we set out to do. So we just don't know is the answer. So we will be there. If you've got your own telescope and you're having difficulty using it, you can bring it along. We'll help you do that. You can actually do lots of that if it's cloudy. There'll be free refreshments, tea, coffee, biscuits, sweets for the kids, that kind of thing. And of course there'll be copies of Astronomy Island magazine on sale for people, because there's a lot more to see than just Venus next to the moon over the next month. And we're trying to get new members to join Astronomy Ireland during Irish Astronomy Week in particular. If people go to our website, they'll see the special offer. We're going to give you 3 months membership, 3 magazines free in the post, extra, only if you join this week. So make sure you visit astronomy.ie after the show.
So this week is Irish Astronomy Week?
Yeah, we had a big public lecture last night.
Right.
About a problem with the Big Bang and how we think the universe is expanding. There'll be a similar talk, which is referring back to the introduction you kindly gave me, for Easter Monday, in fact, and that's about the end of the universe. We're not exactly sure how the universe is going to end, but looking at what we know about the universe to date, there's a number of scenarios that we're fairly sure one of them must be the way it's going to end. Is it all going to be gobbled up by black holes? Would it stretch forever? Will there be no matter left in the universe? Will it all fall back in a big crunch and everything vanishes down a tiny dot smaller than a single atom? It's a fascinating talk, and we have a speaker from the University of Liverpool who's going to join us online via Zoom to explain this to anyone who wants to know.
But, I mean, as we know, like, the planet, you know, is heating up. You know, it's getting hotter and hotter, and, you know, we're all over the place with seasons and all of that. So maybe we might just go up in a puff of smoke, might burn out.
Well, yeah, we're fairly sure we know what's going to happen to the Sun and the Earth, because we can see other stars like the Sun and the life cycle that they go through. And the Sun is about halfway through its life. It's crushing atoms of hydrogen at its core into helium, a process we're trying to replicate on the Earth, because that would give it lots of clean energy. But every time you ask them for the last 50 years, they always say it's about 50 years away from commercial viability, so we need other things to help us. I mean, the global warming is a terrible problem for the human race, but it's minor inconvenience to planet Earth. It won't notice if we're all gone. There'll be some other species will take over. So terrible news for us. It won't make much difference to the Earth, and certainly practically no difference whatsoever to the universe. So it sort of puts us in our place. And if we look at our nearby planet Venus, that you can see in the sky every evening this week near the moon on Friday, it's got a runaway greenhouse effect. I mean, we're petrified that we're up to about one part in 2,000 of the air you're breathing is carbon dioxide, a tiny, tiny fraction. Mm. And look at all the trouble it's causing for society, and will cause in the coming decades for sure. But on Venus, it's 95% carbon dioxide. It's practically pure carbon dioxide.
Wow.
So its temperature at the surface shot up to nearly 500 degrees Celsius. So when you're looking at this lovely, brilliant white light shining near the moon on Friday, just spare a thought that if you could get down to the surface, it'd be hotter than the hottest you can make your oven at home. Not only that, but battery acid in its clouds. So you got hot battery acid raining down on
you. Lovely.
The pressure's also about 100 times greater than the air we're breathing now. It's a horrible place, even though it's named after the goddess of beauty.
Yes. My goodness. Now, there's another star that I've been seeing. It's quite bright and quite close to Venus. Is that Jupiter that I've been seeing?
Yeah. Yeah, on the March the 1st, they were at their very closest.
Yes.
So we're all moving around the Sun. The Earth takes a year. Venus takes about eight months. Jupiter takes 12 years. So you rub it all forward in your computer. You can see that occasionally Venus will pass by Jupiter. It'll only happen every few years, maybe, I think, on average once a decade in the evening sky when people are awake to see it. It'll actually happen again in 2025, but you have to get up at dawn to see it that time. And we're telling people, you know, day by day, it will creep up to, Venus will creep up to Jupiter. On March the 1st, they'll be closest, and then it will slowly creep away. And we've been watching it for the last week, it's slowly getting further apart. fortunately, on March the 1st, I got breakthrough cloud, so did a few other people in Ireland, and we managed to snap the two at their closest. And they were so close at that point that you could fit the two into the same telescope field of view. And I could see the disk of Venus on one side of the field of view in the telescope, and on the other side, Jupiter's disk with its moons either side. I got a picture of that. We actually showed it on TV. That clip was kindly given to us by Virgin Media, and it's on our YouTube channel.
Lovely.
You go to, go to YouTube, search for Astronomy Island, you'll find it, and you can see that picture, along with all the aurora pictures that we had from the previous week as well.
Yes,
we had a fantastic display of the Northern Lights, yeah.
Beautiful.
And they're all, by the way, featured in the next issue of Astronomy Island magazine.
Oh,
that will be out next
good.
Week.
Well, you know what, you were talking about that with the picture. My sister-in-law was in Portugal there a couple of weeks ago, and she sent a picture through on our family WhatsApp group. Absolutely amazing. She just took it with her phone, and Jupiter was so bright, and Venus, the two stars together, and there was this kind of like palm tree in the background. My brother was saying it looked like a reinvention of the Hotel California, the cover of the thing, but it was absolutely gorgeous. The two were so bright and so clear, Jupiter and Venus.
Yeah, and they are the two brightest objects in the night sky.
Yes.
Two brightest star-like objects. I mean, Jupiter was six times dimmer than Venus, but Venus is nearly 100 times brighter than the brightest stars you see in the sky. You'll see it tonight and every night over in the west after the sun goes down for the next few months, in fact. It's just that on Friday, the moon joins it in the sky, just to add to the spectacle. Jupiter's getting very low down now in the twilight. You probably won't see it anymore, but it'll be back next year. So it was a fantastic naked eye spectacle, and it's amazing what camera phones can do these days. More and more of the pictures we're putting into Astronomy Island magazine are just being taken on camera phones.
Mm.
Some of them have now, and you can get apps for this for older phones, have long exposure facilities. So if you can pop the camera up somewhere, it can collect light for several seconds, which your eye can't do. The human eye is more like a video camera.
Mm.
So at night time, you've got the Milky Way. You could try this yourself from your home in Roscommon.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually record stars with a camera phone far fainter than you can see with the naked eye. So it's a growing area, and we're always asking people to send us in their pictures, even if they're just taken with a camera phone. And you'll definitely get a chance to do this on Friday. You've got the moon, you've got Venus. So even if you don't have one of these special apps or one of the modern cameras that has a night mode, you should be able to snap the moon and Venus together. And we want people to send those in to Astronomy Island magazine. We want to publish the Irish photographs of all these things that are happening. And you'll see the contact details on astronomy.ie, our website. And like I said, sign up for the magazine, get the April issue with all those past pictures, and hopefully in the future you'll see some of your own in print over the coming 15 months that you'll be getting for the price of 12.
Very good, very good. Now, the thing is, I was trying to snap that beautiful starry sky. I will have to upgrade my phone because I got nothing but black. Just black.
Yeah.
My phone is 2 years old now.
Yeah, do check out the apps online, because a lot of the cameras in the phones can take long exposure photographs. It's just the app, the camera app that's built into them, was meant for just snapping daylight shots. Nobody thought, some people might want to take nighttime shots as well. And you do have to hold the camera very steady, but you don't need to get a tripod or anything fancy like that. I knew one person who propped their camera up on a haystack in a field because they forgot their tripod.
Very good.
You know, prop it up on a wall, on the car, a few books tilted against that, and have a go. Part of the fun would be to see what you can get. You could get hooked on this astrophotography, as we call it.
Definitely. So what are these apps? Are they just photo apps? They're not astronomy apps?
I have to confess, I'm not an expert, and there's so many apps
out
there.
Yes.
There are a lot of apps for the, usually it's for the night sky or night mode.
Oh,
and it'll depend
yes.
on your camera as well. And some of them, you can see them advertising on TV now, that have the night modes built in. So the important thing is, you know, if you can hold them steady as well, don't forget that part, because if you get a few pictures in, you can see the camera unfortunately has moved as the person's been trying to hold it well. But one of the pictures that's in, for instance, the next issue of the magazine about the aurora, was somebody flying back on, I think it was a Ryanair flight over Dublin, and they managed to hold their camera long enough and the night mode worked well enough that they have the aurora over the cityscape of Dublin with just a camera phone.
Brilliant. Gorgeous. Oh my goodness, fantastic. There's a lovely app that I downloaded. It's free actually, Skyview free, and it plays this beautiful music, and you can be in your car or you can be in your home, and you just put it up and it will show you the stars that are up there, or you know, and the planets and that. It's gorgeous.
It's fantastic what you can do there. And I think back to when I was a kid gluing a big star map on two sheets of cardboard and hanging it on the washing line at night and looking at it with a torch and then looking up in the sky and looking back down with the torch. How difficult it was then. Now you can hold your phone up, and not only will it show you the stars, it'll tell you their names, and it'll even tell you a history of the constellation, and all about the individual stars, how far away they really are, what kind of stars they are. They're bigger than the sun, smaller than the sun, and some of them can even talk to you as well. And now there's every time we go to one of these events, someone say, look at this app I've got, there's a new one out.
Yes,
in the early days, I think Google Sky was very good, but there are so many other ones now. It's a nightmare actually trying to keep up with them. But the great thing is it means people can find their way around the sky easier than ever, and most of the apps are free.
Brilliant, yeah. Now, you know, there's one thing I want to ask you about. This year, 2023, how many blue moons are there, and what is a blue moon?
Well, the moon can actually appear blue on it rare occasions. Usually it's caused by volcanic dust or some kind of ash in the atmosphere. There were big forest fires, I think, in the 1950s over Canada, and it threw so much ash up into the air, people actually saw the full moon with a blue tinge to it. But then it became popular to call the second full moon in a calendar month as the blue moon. So the moon goes around the Earth roughly every month. That's where the word month comes from, because early peoples realized there are 365 days in the year, and there's roughly 12 moons every year. Hmm. So they split the year up into 12
moons. This is 12 full moons.
12 full moons,
yes.
So it's a very easy way of telling time, you know, from full moon to full moon is a month. 12 of those is roughly at the same time the next year. Not accurate. Our modern calendar is very much more accurate than the lunar calendar. But it was a good first start for people. And we still use the word moon month today.
Hmm.
And the exact time between full moons is about 29 and a half days. Of course, some of the months have 31 or even 30 days in them. So if you're lucky enough, the full moon falls on the first or second of a calendar month, and especially if there's 31 days in the month, then you can just squeeze in a second full moon at the end of the month. Now, it doesn't mean that the moon is actually going to be blue, but what it does mean, it's quite a rare occurrence. It'll happen, we get little rounds, and I think there are some happening later this year.
Mm.
And we had a few last year, the year before. So
it's usually once every 2 to 3.
They're quite rare.
Is it once every 2 to 3 years you'd get it?
Yes,
for a moon.
What's called a pure full moon, but they now sort of extended the definition, and it is arbitrary. And remember, the calendar is a human invention. It doesn't really mean anything astronomically. That if the moon is, the blue moons I'm thinking of, are the other moons, the super moons, my apologies, which is another thing altogether. But the blue moons, they happen, I think it's every 2.4, 2.5 years on average.
Right, yeah. So that's it. Because I was actually playing a song by Nancy Griffith just before you came on. I've been playing quite a lot of moon songs and stars with me going to talk to you. And it was just Once in a Very Blue Moon by Nancy Griffith. And I was just wondering, you know, the listeners would also be wondering, how long does that mean? Once in a Very Blue Moon. So it's about 2 to 3 years, really.
Yeah, well, the great thing about the new definition of a blue moon is that, of course, we can predict it well in advance and well into the past. Real blue moons, which are extremely rare, probably once in a lifetime type events, those we can't really predict. Need a volcano or a giant mass forest fire or something else in nature to go off, to throw all the dust into the air, to get rid of all but the blue light that's left. And I've never actually seen the moon turn blue myself, so they are very, very rare.
Ah, right, I see.
Real ones.
That's the real ones, when the actual, the the colour. It's actually, they're blue, right? Yes, yes, I see. So now...
And of course, the sky, as you can tell from your home in Roscommon, has inspired so many creative people. I mean, one of the more modern ones is Chris Martin, apparently the Coldplay, was recording in a studio, I think in Wales, in the countryside, came out, the car park wasn't lit, floodlit, they looked up, they had a gloriously clear sky, and he saw a sky full of stars. Became a big hit for them.
Very good hit, yes.
You think about all the songs going back to have, you know, talk about the stars or the moon, or things that people are seeing in the sky. I mean, we all know it when people go away from cities on holidays especially and look up in a really dark sky, they are amazed. And we have one big event every year for people to do that. It's called Starbecue, a barbecue under the stars. And it happens up in the Wicklow Mountains. Let me take over the GA grounds in Roundwood. So we have a big hall for talks and exhibitions. The pitch would allow us to put giant telescopes on, dozens of them, thousands of times more powerful than your eyes. We get a professional catering to do the barbecue side of things and have a fun night where you can see the Milky Way overhead just with your naked eye. And you can imagine
gorgeous. What
you can see through the telescopes. Mm. And that's September the 9th of this year, 9th of the 9th.
Right.
You remember, you'll see that on astronomy.ie as well if you go into the event section.
Very good. So that's September the 9th. Now, all of these things take place, it's at your headquarters, which is where? Where can people go this Friday night for the viewing?
Some of the watches do, but the barbecue's in the Wicklow Mountains, and the lectures are all online now, so anyone in the 32 counties, technically in the world, can actually get involved with those, because we are a national group. But for this sort of local event, we can easily set up telescopes at our HQ for anyone in the Leinster area, because we're just off the M50 in a place called the Rosemount Business Park. It's near the National Aquatic Centre, if people know the swimming pool there, near Blanchardstown, but just a couple of minutes off the M50, so easy access from all of Dublin, certainly in Dublin County. And, you know, it's not that too far to travel if you want to look through some giant, really powerful telescopes.
Yes, yeah.
Everybody should do at least once in a lifetime. And that's happening at 7 p.m. this Friday. Details are on astronomy.ie, of course, if you forget, including the air code and sat-nav positions. You can just be guided straight into us.
Great.
And we'll be there with telescopes regardless of the weather.
Excellent. Now, I wanted to ask you, before we head, I wanted to ask you about the evening classes. What's that about? Are they taking place in April?
Well, Astronomy is a popular level group for members of the public that know nothing about space, nothing about science, but want to know more. If that's you, you should be a member of Astronomy Ireland. Sign up on the website. Some people, you know, just glance at a magazine. That's what a magazine's about. You're not supposed to read a magazine cover to cover like a book. You glance at the articles you're interested in. So there'll be some about comets. There'll be some articles about the Big Bang. There'll be some articles about astronauts in space. It's a huge topic. But some people actually did want to read the magazine from cover to cover and didn't understand some bits of it and wanted a background. They asked us to set up classes.
Nice.
Which we did decades ago. Thousands of people have now taken them. And we try to give people a background to everything. Now, they happen in February and October every year. So the next one's in October. You can book it right now on the website. But some people have done that class and want to know even more. We have a set of advanced classes for those where we assume you know a little bit about astronomy to begin with. And they're starting on April 19th. And again, you'll see those on the website, astronomy.ie. There are international courses you can do as well, but the Astronomy Island ones are better and half the price. And you'll get a subscription to the magazine thrown in as well, which means not only will we teach you everything about the universe, but it will also keep you up to date every month for the rest of your life.
Very good. Now, you also have public lectures. Does that mean that somebody, you know, whether they're in Astronomy Ireland or not, can they go along to these?
Absolutely. They used to be held physically in Dublin, but now they're being held online. They may come back physically again in the near future. We're looking into that as all the COVID thing has now died down enough. But we're certainly going to be keeping them online because, as I said, about two-thirds of the members of Astronomy Island don't live in County Dublin. They're in the other 31 counties of the island, so we're very much a national organisation. But there's a big number, of course, physically within Dublin, and we want to cater for those as well. And meantime, they're online every month, which means anyone can watch in.
Nice.
They run on Zoom. It's that easy to run, very simple app. So watch out for those on our website. The next one is Easter Monday. They're always held on the second Monday of the month, even if it's a bank holiday. So this one's on Easter Monday. It's called The End of the Universe, and it's all those scenarios we mentioned earlier. So they're open to the public. And what we try to do is find a scientist who's an expert in their field who can tell the general public what's going on in that area. So it might be something to do with astronauts in space, something to do with comets, this time something to do with cosmology, the study of the whole universe. There's so many aspects of the subject to cover. So if you look on the events page, you'll see a different talk every month. You can look at past talks, and actually because they were held digitally online, you can actually get access to the past talks,
right,
going
yes.
back several years.
Mm.
And we've had everybody from the BBC's rock star astronomer, Professor Brian Cox, all the way to astronomer royals, astronauts, and lots of general researchers who you might not have heard of, but are really good experts in the area and love communicating it to the public. Probably because they were young kids, a lot of them have joined Astronomy On, they've worked their way up through the academic system and gone on to be professors in their own right now.
You
don't have to do that to be a member of Astronomy Ireland, by the way, but obviously a few people have done that, and they just, because it's their passion since childhood, they just love explaining it to people, you know, who don't work in that field, but would love to know, what do we know about the universe? What do we know about the planets, the moons, the comets? You know, it's a fascinating subject. There's countless documentaries and YouTube clips and everything else about that we could talk about forever, because we are talking about the study of the entire universe.
Yes.
And we know an awful lot about it. I mean, our evening classes are 8 weeks, 2 hours each night. That's 16 hours of talks.
Mm.
And we still only call those beginner's classes.
Yes.
So imagine you want to know everything about it.
There's a lot to do. So unfortunately we've run out of time, David. I could chat with you all day. You're just so interesting. You make it all sound so interesting. So people can get onto astronomy.ie, that's your website. But is there a phone number that anybody can ring if they want any information?
Because we have a lot of people working remotely, it's a mobile number. It's on the website. It's 086-0646-555. If you get that, astronomy.ie. And you'll see it in the contact pages.
Excellent.
So you can talk to us, you can email us, you can join up straight away online 24 hours a day, get that magazine, avail of that offer during Irish Astronomy Week from Monday yesterday until next Sunday. And have fun doing astronomy in Ireland. Astronomy Ireland now, relative to population, is the world's most popular astronomy society. And that's because we cater to the general public. We really want all 7 million people on this island to join Astronomy Ireland, because they're missing out if they're not a member. And the magazine contains all the Irish astronomy, what people have seen, what's going to be visible in Irish skies, all the international stories as well. But there's often an Irish person professionally involved in that area, and we get comments from those just to keep everything very local. So there's a huge community. We're also supporting Astronomy On to try and promote interest in astronomy. And, you know, times are tough, but most of the work is done by volunteers in our society. So the cost is half what it would be commercially. It's about €1 a week to be a member of Astronomy Ireland. And they say when times are tough, you need a good hobby. It will promote your mental health and your well-being enormously. And you can, if people are still listening after all this time, they can see how fascinating it is.
I'll be put off.
The best hobby in the universe.
Sorry, what was that you said?
Wouldn't that be the best hobby in the universe?
It would, definitely. Yes, yes. And you make it so interesting. Well, David, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking with me today. And I hope you get lots and lots of members and they get onto astronomy.ie. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
It's been my pleasure.
Not at all. God bless. Take care. Yes, we've run out of time, folks. My thanks to all my guests, the lovely, lovely David Moore there from Astronomy Ireland. And do try to go out to Rosemount Park Business Park. It's only up the road. Go out this Friday night for 7 p.m. and you may be able to see Venus and the Moon through huge, I'm telling you, those deck telescopes are very big. I've gone out to one of the viewings.